Hey guys, welcome to the latest episode of the SaaS Sessions podcast. Today we have an amazing guest, Sridhar Padeni. He's one person who has been into SaaS ecosystem before it was called SaaS, right? He started with being a co-founder of a company called Host Analytics back in 2001. Then he also co-founded Gainsight, and now he's working on his new venture, which is GTM Buddy. So, you know, let's hear from such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Sunil. Thanks a lot for the invite. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So, hey, Sridhar, like I gave a very short intro about you, and you know, I couldn't find a lot about you also on the internet. Maybe can you tell us more about yourself, and you know, how's your journey been into SaaS? And I think you're probably one person who I know personally who's been into SaaS the longest. So I don't know anyone who's been into SaaS before you.
Sure. Okay, where do we start? Personally, again, my name is, I'm based out of Hyderabad, India. I've always been based out of here for the past 20 plus years now. Personally, married with two kids, two boys, 18 and 15. Currently working on my third startup called GTM Buddy, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of my journey, I started my startup career, if you will, back in 2001 with a company called Host Analytics, where I partnered with a gentleman by the name of Jim Ebelin, based out of the US, and we co-founded Host Analytics, a company that's into a space called corporate performance management, which is basically into budgeting and planning, financial consolidations, financial reporting for large enterprises, which have global operations, and they're trying to create their planning and consolidating of the actual financials and so on. Right? So started working on that in 2001, bootstrapped for the first 7 years or so, raised our Series A in early 2008. And the company grew, and towards the end of 2009-2010 timeframes, the ideation started for what eventually became Gainsight. And in 2011, came out of Host Analytics and started working mm-hmm. for them on Gainsight. The name of the company was Jaybird Software back then. Mm-hmm. And worked on it, and we got our early customer traction. Again, I partnered with Jim, same person, Host Analytics, and we partnered on Gainsight as well. So the first 2 years we built the product, and those were very, very early days of customer success, maybe later. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the name of the company was Jaybird Software, and built out the product, a lot of ideation that went into it, and got our early customers, ended up raising our Series A in 2013, mm-hmm. and stayed on with Gainsight for the next 8 years or so, nine years in total. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Went on a sabbatical in 2020, last year. And the year before, actually. And beginning of last year, I started thinking about what next. And so one possibility was becoming an angel investor and advisor kind of it, and have a comfortable lifestyle.
Right.
But as I thought more about it, it was not for me, and really wanted to do one more startup.
Build.
that's where I started working on GTM Buddy, got our team together and working on it right now. Yeah.
Very, very interesting, Sridhar. And, you know, I really like that, you know, you still have that founder spirit right in you, that you want to build something, as you were saying, right? You could have become an advisor, investor, whatever, but you pick the third option, which is like still building. And, you know, the past two experiences, I know that, you know, this will be another big, big venture of yours. But yeah, so talking about Host Analytics, you mentioned you raised it in 2008. I mean, how is that possible? Because 2008, the market was crazy. And, you know, in the midst of all this, you're raising for a company which is SaaS, which is not quite pop as a model, or, you know, as a kind of industry, as an ecosystem, it's not quite famous then. But then you have been running it for about 7 years when you raised. And, you know, so can you tell us more on that? And what were the friction points maybe that you saw while raising for that one?
Yes, SaaS, we have been predominantly focused on the US in all of the startups that I've been associated with. And in the US, by 2008 timeframe, SaaS became quite common, the multiple mm-hmm. companies operating. So
yeah.
A bit of a timeline on SaaS is that probably a lot of people attribute Salesforce to popularizing SaaS as a way of doing business, as a business model and so on, right? Mm-hmm. So when I started my career, the term for that was application service provider. Mm-hmm. So the basic idea was that there were just existing legacy applications mm-hmm. where as a customer, you would purchase software and then you would engage with consultants for implementing that solution, wait for a couple of years, for the onboarding to be complete, and then by the time you have spent several millions of dollars, you're stuck with what you have, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Right.
So the idea back in those .com was more of the consumer side of the world, and on the business side of the world, you had application service providers, where the idea was that you would host applications on the web and people can subscribe to software.
Right.
That was the idea when we started off with Hostnetics as well. The name itself, analytics, hosted analytical applications.
Yeah.
Was the idea, right?
Nice.
So we started back then, and from early on, by nature of our business, we've been focusing on enterprises. It was not focused on long tail of customers, smaller enterprises, small deal sizes, and so on. It was always on mid to larger enterprises. And we had fairly large contract sizes in the early years of the journey as well. So
nice.
Along the way in 2004, 2005, a lot of analysts coming together, cloud computing, as places started getting popularized. So by the time we raised our money, we already had a number of respected logos amongst our customer list at that time. And actually, we were late to raising money. There were other companies which were going after those smaller enterprises, smaller ticket sizes, and so on, which had raised money in 2004, also in the same category. So we raised predominantly for other reasons, because we were competing with the likes of SAP and IBM and Oracle were our primary competitors. That too, because we were competing with Hyperion early on, and Hyperion acquired by Oracle. So Oracle became a competitor.
Right.
Competing with Cognos, and Cognos became IBM. So IBM became a competitor. SAP acquired Business Objects and Outlook Soft and multiple other companies in the space. So our competition became these three big players. So the reason why we raised money at that point in time also is, in order to compete with these players, we needed deeper products.
Interesting. So,
and we had the credibility in terms of the customer traction, product was mature, there's evidence of all the customers paying for it and using it and so on. So,
Interesting. And you know, as you said, right, application service provider and then became SaaS. And I think that's how you, in the past two conversations also, you mentioned that while you were working on Post Analytics, you had people subscribing to like a software which was, you know, not quite popular back then. And then you saw that, you know, people are subscribing and then they are churning out. And that kind of gave you the idea of, you know, the customer success as a function, and probably gave the idea for you guys for Gainsight as well. So what were the pivotal points that you saw in Host Analytics where through which you saw that, you know, hey, this customer success as a domain can be huge moving down the years for SaaS industry? And then, you know, how can we create a tool, right? And what were those moments which kind of finalized in your mind that, you know, hey, we have to stop like Host Analytics and I have to move on and create this new product or new company called Gainsight?
Yeah, it was a journey of figuring things out, right? So been through the journey at Host Analytics of building a SaaS business. So for any SaaS business in general, you're basically, if you look at your revenues, you're basically doing two things at the same time. On one hand, you're closing new business, you're getting new customers,
right?
And every month, every quarter, you have your quotas and you're trying to hit your quotas and go beyond and so on, customer acquisition. And as the company starts building its install base of customers, you've already signed some customers. So in year two, you have two revenue streams now. One, you're renewing the existing customers, and you are also signing new customers.
Right.
And with some of those customers that you're renewing, you're expanding some of those contracts, and you're losing some of those customers.
Right.
So there's always a point of no return for most SaaS companies. In a given quarter, if you will, the amount of revenue that you're renewing or your expansion revenue taken together, it's larger than the new revenue that you're closing. It's almost like it's a point of no return. After that, as your install base is growing, you're renewing more than you're generating in terms of net new revenue.
Totally.
And in that scenario, when you start looking at, okay, are all of the customers in the existing install base, are they renewing? And you start seeing that, okay, you thought everybody, all of your customers are happy and your ideal world, everybody is renewing and some are expanding. So your net retention rate is like 120%, 150%, whatever. But the reality starts hitting you in terms of, you know, you start seeing some customer who you thought was happy gives you a churn notice at the 11th hour.
Right.
or well past their renewal date and so on. It's a fairly common story for many, many SaaS businesses, right?
Right.
So that was the context in which the ideation started, in terms of like not just any the problem statement was not unique to Host Analytics per se, but any SaaS business that goes through the growth path back then or even today, as your install base existing customers, install base is growing, you need to take care of that install base, ensure that your customers are happy adopting your solution, getting value from the solution, you need to be proactive about it. So how do you do that was the question. And the instrumentation back then was a number of companies were doing NPS surveys for raise back then, and they continued to be quite popular, Net Promoter surveys. So you would do a survey out of SurveyMonkey and send out a survey and identify what is your NPS score, how many promoters you have, how many detractors you have. And then you do some analysis and discuss some action items and hopefully act on it. And you basically are, again, wait for the next NPS survey to come in. There was no tooling other than the NPS surveys for most companies those times. So our thought process was that there's got to be a better world where it cannot be a point in time kind of an exercise, but rather a continuous stream of work that has to go in to monitor your install base and ensure that they're getting value, they're adopting your solution, and you're taking the making the course corrections as necessary and so on. So that was, it started from the problem more than anything else. It's not as if we set aside, went about thinking that, you know, customer success is going to become the next big thing. Therefore, I want to create something. But we're trying to solve a problem that's real.
Right. And
the problem is not just unique to one company, but
Right.
And then you look at, okay, what do you want to do to address this problem? Address this problem of tracking your install base and monitoring customer health and getting the revenue and avoid surprises and so on. There was no tool in the market which can help us do that.
Right.
So we went about thinking about you know, what the tool can be. So that's where this whole category creation thing comes up, right? So when you have you are entering in an existing market, you know that, okay, there's a market and there are customers who understand the category, if you will. And there's a set of capabilities that you need to have in your product to compete in that market. And you want to do it better and so on.
Right.
But when you're talking about something new, where a lot of companies did not even have a function called customer success back in the day.
Exactly, yeah. Start
figuring out in terms of what the solution can be. So we went through a lot of ideation on that in terms of what is this product or what is it going to look like. We built a lot of different things, lots of different areas, long story.
Right.
Built, scrapped, and all of that. Came to a product definition early 2011. That's when I came out, started working on it. And when we launched, we were the very first company, to the best of my knowledge, to have launched as a customer success platform globally.
Right.
Yeah. So again, summarizing all of that, it was born out of the problem statement
that you have faced. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
And so you're not curious to know, when you're at Host Analytics and you are, so did you have any role as customer success in your org?
So back in those days, very, very few companies, if at all, which had customer success function. All of that happened, the customer success as a function has evolved in the past 10 years.
Right.
In reality, there were people doing somewhat similar things, but the name...
It was not customer success.
Yeah, it was account management. Even today, there is account management function.
Yeah.
But there's a specialization of function in terms of there's account management on one hand, there is customer success management to manage on the other hand, working hand in hand, collaborating with each other. But the evolution of customer success as a function happened in the past decade.
Right.
A lot of companies created that function. And it's kind of gratifying to see that now when I talk to many of my friends in the startup circles, even in an early stage startup, like with 10, 15, 20 people, they have at least one or two people who have
customer success. Yeah,
customer success titles. This was the case back then.
Interesting. Now it's become, you know, very synonymous with, you know, any SaaS company, right? Like customer success as a role. Anyone, they won't, let's say, have a person, but they will have someone who is doing that responsibility, who's taking that responsibility, right? Very, very interesting to see. But, you know, and then you created Gainsight, right? I'm very curious about, like, you know, that you're creating a new category, right, which is customer success platform, right? And you also said that there are very few companies who are adopting this customer success function, right? Like, who are not just, there would be like people who would be playing some key parts and in the responsibilities for this particular role, but they're not dedicated people. So then when you're trying to sell Gainsight to your, you know, prospects, right? Obviously you would have sold it to first few people in your network and whatever, but once you're trying to sell it to the new people or new companies, right? So how did you tell them, right? Or what was your approach in, you know, telling them that, okay, this is a new function and, you know, this is, that's why it requires a new tool and it requires a new approach and it requires a new thinking or new mindset. So what was your approach back then in basically selling Gainsight or selling a product which does not, you know, people don't understand what it does, why it required, but eventually it's kind of solving the pain point that we are very sure that they have, because it's a SaaS company. So it's a SaaS company, companies will churn. So there will be a need of customer success platform eventually.
Yeah, great question. And early success, a lot of credit for that goes to my partner, Jim Evelyn. So what we did early on was that we were focusing on large, well-respected, well-known, sizable SaaS companies as our customers. So these are companies that are already at a certain level of scale.
Right.
We need to educate them about the importance of being proactive about customer satisfaction and customer retention and the cost of churn and all of that. These are companies that are already at that scale.
Right.
And we're focusing on large SaaS companies back in 2011 and 12 that are based out of the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Where, as you know, a lot of today's giants of SaaS companies have started.
Right.
And they were much smaller back then. So to give an example, one of our early customers was Marketo. And Marketo was already filing for IPO. So they were already
at that scale.
They had created a function for customer success, and Dan Steinman was heading customer success there. I'm just giving one example.
Right.
And it was one of our early customers that we sold into. In the same token, we sold to Eloqua. HubSpot was much younger company. Eloqua were the two of the large players.
Right.
So both of them were our customers. Informatica had their cloud offering, Informatica On Demand. They were one of the early customers and so on. Yeah. So you're basically going after tech companies that have SaaS companies that were already at scale, where they know the problem.
Right.
And when you're talking about a solution that can address some of those pain points, they are willing to partner with you. And these type of companies are also thought leaders, and they tend to be early adopters of tech that comes in. As long as the problem solution fit is clear to them, they tend to adopt far quicker. So that's how we got our early customers. Focusing on Bay Area, large SaaS companies that are already at scale.
Right. And I think just like how you got Gainsight's idea from Post Analytics, I'm assuming that you might have got GTM Buddy's idea from the past two, both of the experiences that you have had.
Absolutely.
So very, you know, really looking forward to that, you know, story come live in a way.
Yeah, just to, at a high level, we're still in a stealth mode, so I can't go too much into details for that, but basically what we are doing is I'm moving up the funnel the way I think about it. So a customer success solution like Gainsight basically comes in when somebody becomes a customer. Then how do I manage the customer lifecycle? That's what Gainsight's role is. Now with GTM Buddy, I'm moving up the funnel a bit in terms of how do I get the customers? How can I be more effective in that? And that's broadly a problem statement that we're trying to solve.
Awesome. That's really, you know, that paints a great picture in, you know, what GTM Buddy would be. You know, so yeah, cool. Would love to know, since you have been into SaaS for the longest time, what is the state of SaaS ecosystem in India according to you, right? How has that evolved, right? Because when you started back in 2001, and, you know, now it's 2021, so it's like 20 years from, you know, the time when you started. So how has seen it's evolved, you know, during these past two decades?
Yeah. So it's something that I reflect upon. So none of my previous two companies, Host Analytics or Gainsight, are typically considered India companies. Because we always had the companies were founded in at the same time. Focus was on the US market. And all of our fundraisers have happened in the US and so on. Right? But if I were to really think about it, all of Host Analytics product was built out of Hyderabad for a very, very long time. almost a decade or so before there was any presence set outside of, from a product perspective, I mean.
Yeah. Right.
Along similar to Hostantix, there were other companies as well, where you have India-US structure.
Right.
And there are founders who have an India connection of some sort, in my case, and I was based out of India. So there are companies in that category.
Right.
Out of Hyderabad, the one company that comes to mind is InsideView. InsideView had always had their engineering team here. When we were working on Hostantix, they were based out of here. And they have the US headquarters and so on. So there was this category of SaaS companies that were always there.
Right.
Most of them are not even treated as Indian companies.
Mostly.
Yeah. Parallel to that, there were a new breed of companies that have emerged clearly, or as a country, I think we all look up to Zoho and Freshworks and what in terms of the scale at which they are. So, Zoho advertisements the other day, a couple of days ago, So they have been there forever and immensely successful. Lots of respect for what these companies have achieved. And they have set the role models for a lot of other entrepreneurs, and they've also become breeding grounds for, you know, the like paper mafia that we talk about
now.
So many people who are coming out of these companies and starting out again. These are companies, these could be people who are employed with one of these companies coming out and starting on their own, or companies that they have acquired and they're starting their next startup.
Startup,
experience and all of that. So that's phenomenal. That I think going through that golden age of India SaaS, we're at the very beginning of that cycle.
Right.
And for the longest time, it was always, you know, the India SaaS was a lot of people perceive it to be that of a fast follower thing. Where there's always an established incumbent large player, and we tend to build a better, faster, cheaper product primarily on price. That was a perception. There's nothing wrong in that, but a number of companies succeeded with that playbook. Immense amount of businesses.
Right.
What's really good to see is that there are companies that are emerging right now which have become market leaders out of it. There are companies which are selling large contracts very early in their life cycle. Like reading some stats about companies like Innovacer as an example. Talking about large contract sizes, relatively early in their journey still. And you look at product-led growth that the likes of, you know, BrowserStack and Postman, what they have achieved. Or what Fix has achieved. The number of, or what Capillary, when they started out back in 2009, and predominantly focusing on India and expanding to Asia market, they created a playbook that a number of other following. So there's so many examples of homegrown entrepreneurs building their startups and scaling it and becoming market leaders in their market, in their respective segments. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it has improved in with respect to all, everything, right? There's more confidence now, there's more materials and more people available in the ecosystem to help others. There's more VCs or more money which, you know, which has come in, right? More opportunities to grow, and, you know, everything has like grown crazily. And I think, you know, I was talking to someone who just mentioned that I think in the SaaS, from the SaaS ecosystem, we are just, you know, entering the hockey stick curve for India SaaS, right? Like we are just starting, it's just going up now and from there. Great. I'm, you know, I could go on and on talking about you, Sridhar. I'm, you know, so interesting, but, you know, quickly, you know, just before we close this conversation, I want to move to the lightning round. I have like three questions and you'll have to answer like whatever is on top of your mind, right? Cool. So first one, what's the one fundamental change that you're making in your job now in 2021?
So far, I have been, you know, looking at my work from the perspective of product. That's my core forte. Now, I'm looking at it at my current startup at with much broader lens. So which is out of necessity, you could say. So that's, that's one. As a bonus pointer, I guess, if you were to approach me for this conversation like a couple of years ago, I would not have responded. Or I would have said, no. I'm an intensely private person trying to get out of the comfort zone and, you know, be a bit more available and social and interacting with people. So those are the top two, I guess.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that's really great. So second one, what's the one thing that has helped you shorten your learning curve?
Reflecting on the experiences And whatever experiences that you go through, if you don't take that moment of introspection and reflection, you don't really have concrete takeaways in terms of how do you do things better.
Right.
There's always room to improve pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then the last one, right? So what do you know about your work now that you wish you would have known when you first started?
Okay. That's an interesting one. I guess the importance of even broader perspective on the business, and ensuring that all of the entire team is with you on on the journey. And especially in the early stage startups, you're not just looking at a product, or you're not looking at just the customer success or sales and so on, but the perspective of what you are doing and why you are doing and how you, each person can make a difference.
Right.
Think I could have done a better job before, and trying to get better at it. It's a journey.
Nice. Yeah. Interesting. Awesome. So yeah, again, thanks a lot. I mean, that's it for this episode, at least. Thanks a lot, Sridhar, for, you know, taking time, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, I'd say now, and, you know, coming and doing this amazing, you know, episode with us, the SaaS Sessions podcast.
Thank you, Sridhar.